Okay, how we doing here? How we doing here? Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Good morning, everyone. And especially good morning and happy Mother's Day to all you mothers out here in the congregation. It's a beautiful day out here right now, and enjoy your day. We've got some prayer concerns here this morning. Virginia Bizet is still in Beaumont, and she will be having more tests this week. That's Beaumont Royal Oak that she's in. And I think if you go on your internet, there's an address there. You can send her a card if you want to. Jeff Nickel, who is Al's brother, has been diagnosed with cancer. So we really need to keep him in our prayers. And I would ask you to look on the back of your, on the back of your bulletin. We have a number of people there that are in need of your prayers. So make sure you take a look at that and keep those people in mind. We have birthdays and anniversaries today. On birthdays, on May the 14th, Carol Martino. On May 19th, Chris Masai. And on May 19th also, Corbin Wilkinson. And then I almost forgot about this one, but I see we got an anniversary over here. That's Amy's and mine. No, I can't forget that. Okay, we've got some other announcements this morning. Oh, yeah, I guess we ought to sing. Let's do the happy birthday first, okay? Okay, we got a couple of people that would like to speak this morning. Mary, you want to come up and take care of? Mary's going to give us a little information on the conference.
As many of you know, the annual conference of the United Methodist Church is held the end of the month, first part of June. And this year, I'm going to be helping them make rice bags, meals. And I'm asking for a donation from our congregation to help with providing the rice bag meals. Let me read you what it has to say. With the Board of Global Ministries, rice meal bags will be packed at the annual conference to distribute to those in need throughout Midwest missions. Most recently, Ukraine. When I heard that, it touched my heart, and I know the people over there are starving. I have never been hungry in my life. I have been well blessed. I talked to Al, and I said, I'm not going to golf at the Big Bear like I've always wanted to. It's $65. Instead, I'm going to donate that $65 towards these meals. I'm hoping that my church family will support me in this and also help donate. I'm asking you to fill out and put in a check or cash. I've asked a couple ladies in the church to go around and collect them. At the end of today's service, they'll have the amount that is going to go up there. I need to have that money sent in, and it'll go through our church, so our church will get credit for every dollar. Yes, just write on the thing, rice meal bags. You know, just write it right across it, and they'll be collecting it before we collect the other money. Also, I just want you to know that I think it's very important, and I think it's something we can all do. for those less needy.
Thank you, Mary. And there was one thing that I did not mention. It's the camp scholarship forms. They've got to be in by June 1st, so don't forget about that. And Suzanne, I think you have something here that you'd like to add this morning.
Yes, I do. What a glorious morning it is. What a great day for Mother's Day, don't you think? Amen. During Easter, we had the Lenten packets that we put our coins in, as you remember. We ran out of packets. Our people here in our church family are so generous that we were hoping to get just a few $100s, and we could send some chickens or some geese or whatever. I was hoping to send a heifer, since we are a farming community and a lot of dairy around our area. Well, that was $500. Guess what? We collected $500 worth of quarters. Way to go, congregation family! We are going to supply a heifer to Heifer International. I will be sending the information out to them and the check. And not only will they be provided with milk, but as we all know, they'll be provided with fertilizer too. And since we are such a great, wonderful giving family, I don't have a problem at all, Mary, thinking that this church will be fully behind you. Those people in Ukraine are suffering terribly, and it's part of our mission is to share with people. Yes, Mary.
One bag will feed six people, and it costs $2 per bag.
Just wow. One meal will provide, will feed six people for $2. Wished I could get a meal for $2 around here. Anyway, thank you again for all your support, and please support Mary with her endeavor, too, with the rice bags. Thank you.
Welcome to Sandusky First United Methodist Church. Our vision statement is love, care, share like Christ. The mission statement of our denomination is go make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. Pastor Lisa Clark will be bringing us our morning message. I am Ivan Henderson, worship leader for this morning. Will the acolytes please come forward? Our acolytes this morning are Addie and Riley. Please silence your minds and prepare your hearts for worship. Our praise song this morning is number 2064, O Lord, You're Beautiful.
Thank you.
Our call to worship this morning, please respond in the bold print. From the north and south, from the east and west, with hands raised high or hearts quietly pondering,
we come to
bring our love, opening our minds.
Let us pray. God of all nations, for creating us in all our ways, yet calling us together in our common humanity, we offer you our thanks and our praise. Speak to us with your spirit of truth. Reveal to us your loving presence and guide us to display your loving spirit in all that we say and in all that we do. Amen and amen.
Amen. Our opening hymn this morning is number 92, For the Beauty of the Earth.
Amen and amen. You may be seated. If I can have the kids come on up at this time. Catherine has a little tidbit of treasure that she just happened to run across, and we talked about this yesterday. She's going to share this with you, but first of all, while you're gathering up here, I just want to, does your mom ever, any of your moms ever have like this phrase that they use quite often when you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing, like they call you by your whole name instead of just your first name or something like that? Anybody relate to any of that? Yeah? No? Oh, at my house, yes. I want Catherine to share this little treasure that she found with you this morning.
And I'm sure most of the congregation in my generation might be able to renew this.
Even relate more, right? Even relate more. Every one of these things, I think.
Mother says, famous last words, if you don't stop, your face will freeze like that. I only have two hands. Let me kiss it, make it better. Because I said so. Because I'm your mother. Have you ever heard that? Because I'm your mother? Go ask your father. I bet you've heard that one. Go heard your father? No.
Once in a while, maybe. Huh?
Eat it. It's good for you. Don't put that in your mouth. You don't know where it's been. Have you heard that one?
Mm-hmm.
Of course you have. I don't care who started it. Get your hair out of your eyes. You call that music? No. Clean your plate. There's starving children out there. Money doesn't grow on trees. Have you heard that one? Money heard? Okay. If all your friends jumped off a cliff, would you do that too? Don't ever forget that I love you. You'll always be my baby. Call Mom. Love
Amen.
You.
Amen. Amen. I don't know how many of those you kids have heard before, but I think I've heard every single one of them. I don't think that's something to brag about probably either, but anyway, yes, us older people, that my mother must have had that list somewhere. I'm not sure if she did or not, but I think moms are pretty special, are they not? Moms are pretty special. They do so much for us that we just take for granted sometimes. We just expect it to be done because moms are always there to pick up the slack. And we are thankful for them today, aren't we, kids? Let's have a word of prayer. Thank you, Lord, for our moms. Thank you for all that they do, the many, many, many hours that they spend looking out for us, driving us here, there, and everywhere, getting us to practices and getting us to games and taking us to school and bringing things that we forgot and left on the table before we left for school, maybe. Just so much that they do. And they do it not because they have to, but because they love us with all of their hearts. So we give you thanks for our mothers today in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Thank you for coming up this day. Yes. Oh, my gosh. Oh, yeah. Awesome. Awesome. Thank you, everyone. Thank you. You're going to be packing a lot of rice packs. Yeah.
A big,
praise
big
God.
Thank you to everybody. The Old Testament reading this morning is from Psalm 66, verses 8 through 20. Praise our God, all peoples. Let the sound of his praise be heard. He has preserved our lives and kept our feet from slipping. For you, God, tested us. You refined us like silver. You brought us into prison and laid burdens on our backs. You let people ride over our heads. We went through the fire and water, but you brought us to a place of abundance. I will come to your temple with burnt offerings and fulfill my vows to you. Vows my lips promised and my mouth spoke when I was in trouble. I will sacrifice fat animals to you and an offering of rams. I will offer bulls and goats. Come and hear all you who fear God. Let me tell you what he has done for me. I cried out to him with my mouth. His praise was on my tongue. If I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. But God has surely listened and has heard my prayer. Praise be to God, who has not rejected my prayer or withheld his love from me. May God add his blessings upon the reading of this word. And now we will hear from our choir, The Gift of Love.
Thank you, choir. That was beautiful. This week, we are praying for Sanilac Glass Company as our business of the week. We have lifted up many names before the service, and we want to continue to pray for each and every one on our hearts for all of the unspoken needs within this room. Amen. Amen. The Lord sees your hands and he knows. And so many others that might be listening in as well. The Lord hears and knows exactly what we need. Let us go to prayer this morning. We praise you, O God, for your gift of motherly love, both gentle and fierce, both strong and humble, both kind and true. For mothers who have joined you in heaven and whom we miss dearly this day, we give you thanks. For mothers who work day and night to raise and care for their children, we give you thanks. Lord, I pray for single mothers everywhere. Bless them with the power through your Holy Spirit to raise their children with grace and wisdom and truth. During moments of difficulty and despair, remind all mothers of the promises from your word to strengthen and encourage their souls. Remind our mothers today that you are here for them and will guide them each day. May they take their burdens to the cross and rely upon you for their source of strength and help during times of need. Lord, I pray for women who desire to become mothers. Hold them close in your arms and give them the comfort and strength that they need each and every day. Let them know that you have not forgotten them, and you know the desires of their hearts. Restore their mind, body, soul, and spirit. Remind them of your goodness and love for them. Lord, I pray for working moms, that you would give them the strength to keep going. During moments of fatigue and stress, calm their hearts and minds through your word. Help them release all cares and worries and concerns to you. And may you guide their hearts with your peace that surpasses all understanding. Surround them with a godly support system that will encourage them and remind them of your great love for them, their children, and their families. Lord, I pray for stay-at-home moms. Strengthen them each day as they seek to serve you in their homes. Bless them as they care for their families with diligence and delight. May they walk in your wisdom and grace as they perform their tasks for your glory. Remind them of your love and faithfulness, and may they experience your joy and peace each and every day. Lord, I pray for expectant mothers all over the world. I ask that you will keep their children safe in their wombs as they patiently await their arrival. Thank you for the joys they will experience as they prepare for their children's birth. Calm their minds and strengthen their bodies as they seek to raise their children in your wisdom and truth. Lord, bless all new mothers everywhere. You have given them the blessing of a new life to care for. Please equip them with the grace and wisdom that they need to be the best mothers that they can be. Surround them with seasoned and experienced mothers who can help them grow in their walk with you and grow as new mothers. Give them the strength and encouragement that they need each day. Lord, I pray for mothers that are grieving, whether they are mourning the loss of a friend, family member, or a precious child, comfort them with the strength and comfort that only comes from you. Be ever present with them during this time of difficulty. Remind them of your never-ending love for them each day. Lord, I pray for mothers who are dealing with the pain of a prodigal child. Embrace them in your tender care, and may they receive your comfort and strength. Help them to never give up on their children, but to patiently wait for them to return home. Remind them that you have not given up on them, and that you have loved their children always with an everlasting love. May she lean upon you each day as she loves her children with your unconditional love. Lord, I pray for adoptive mothers, foster mothers, step up to the plate mothers. Thank you for how, Lord, they faithfully serve you and serve their children. Thank you that you are the ultimate example of adopting us into your loving family. Thank you for choosing us as your children. I pray that adoptive mothers will hold firmly to the promise in your word and will continue to look to you for help, hope, and strength as they raise the wonderful children in their care. Lord, I pray for your loving protection to guard all mothers. Guard them and keep them in all their ways. Watch over their going out and their coming in. Give them the physical strength and stamina they need to accomplish what you have purposed for them to do as mothers. Protect them from the schemes of Satan, and may your favor and protection surround them with a shield. Lord, we love you and we praise you for every one of our mothers today, for all that they have done to help us be the people we are today. We pray, Lord, for all of the needs within this room. We pray that you will hear our hearts and know our needs. And we pray in turn, Lord, that we will honor you with all that we say and all that we do in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, whose prayer you taught your disciples to pray and whose prayer we pray together now. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen and amen. Turn with me, if you will, in your Bibles this morning to the 14th chapter of the Gospel of John. In your Bibles, chapter 14, and then going to verse 15 through 21. John 14, 15 through 21. If you love me, you will obey what I command, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am the Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word, the word of God for the people of God. Amen. Someone once wrote, Mother's Day is traditionally the day when children give something back to their mothers for all the spit that they produce to wash dirty faces, all the old gum that they've held in their hands, all the noses they wiped, and all the bloody knees that they made well with their kisses. This is the day mothers are rewarded for washing sheets in the middle of the night, for driving kids to school when they miss the bus, for making a second trip to drop off what they should have gone on the first trip, and enduring all those football, softball, and soccer games in the rain and the freezing cold. It's a day of appreciation for making your children finish something that they said they couldn't do, not believing them when they said, I hate you, and sharing their good times and their bad. What are mothers? Well, mothers are teachers. Mothers are disciplinarians. Mothers are cleaning ladies. Some mothers are gardeners and mowers of lawns. Mothers are nurses and doctors and psychologists and counselors and chauffeurs and coaches. Mothers are developers of personalities, molders of vocabularies, and shapers of attitudes. Mothers are soft voices saying, I love you. And mothers are a link to God, a child's very first impression of God's love. Mothers are all these things and much, much, so much more. I'm sure you've heard this before, but one of my all-time favorite columns by Irma Bombeck tells of God in the act of creating mothers. She says that on the day God created mothers, he had already worked very, very long overtime. And an angel said to him, Lord, you sure are spending a lot of time on this one. The Lord turned and said, have you read the specs on this model? She is supposed to be completely washable, but not plastic. She is to have 180 moving parts, all of them replaceable. She is to have a kiss that will heal everything from a broken leg to a broken heart. She is to have a lap that will disappear whenever she stands up. She is to be able to function on black coffee and leftovers. And she's supposed to have 6 pairs of hands. 6 pairs of hands, said the angel. That's impossible. It's not the 6 pairs of hands that bother me, said the Lord. It's the 3 pairs of eyes. She's supposed to have 1 pair that sees through closed doors so that whenever she says, what are you kids doing in there? She already knows what they're doing in there. She has another pair in the back of her head to see all the things she is not supposed to see, but that she must. And then she has 1 pair right in front that can look at a child that has goofed up. and communicate love and understanding without saying a word. That's just too much, said the angel. You can't put that much in one model. Why don't you rest for a while and resume your creating tomorrow? No, I can't, said the Lord. I'm close to creating someone very much like myself. I've already come up with a model who can heal herself when she's sick, who can feed a family of six with 1 pound of hamburger, and who can persuade a 9-year-old to take a shower. We can relate to that at our house. Then the angel looked at the model of motherhood a little bit more closely and said, "Oh, but she's too soft." "Oh, but she's tough," said the Lord. "You'd be surprised at how much a mother can do." "Can she think?" asked the angel. "Not only can she think," said the Lord, "but she can reason and compromise and persuade." Then the angel reached over and touched her cheek. "This one has a leak," he said. "I told you that you couldn't put that much in one model." "That's not a leak," said the Lord. "That's a tear." "What's a tear for?" asked the angel. "Well, it's for joy, it's for sadness, it's for sorrow, for disappointment, for pride." "You're a genius," said the angel. And the Lord said, "Oh, but I didn't put it there." Maybe with all this in mind, we can better understand Mrs. Zebedee this morning, the mother of James and John. Turn with me, if you would. I'm not going to read word for word, but I'm going to kind of paraphrase it this morning. Scripture from Matthew 20, verses 20 through 28. You can read it when you're at home in its entirety if you'd like to do that. Then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to Jesus with her sons and, kneeling down, asked a favor of him. "What is it you want?" he asked. She said, "Grant that one of these two sons of mine might sit at your right and the other at your left in your kingdom." "You don't know what you're asking," Jesus said to them. "Can you drink the cup I'm going to drink?" "We can," they answered. Jesus said to them, "You will indeed drink from my cup, but to sit at my right or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared by my Father." Mrs. Zebedee was aware of the teachings of Jesus about his kingdom. She was also very aware of the fact that her sons James and John were very close to Jesus. They were two-thirds of that inner circle that we might talk about, Peter, James, and John. So she was certain that when the Lord formed his kingdom, that they would have positions of responsibility and authority. But in the first part of the same chapter, Jesus tells a story that kind of could have disturbed her just a little bit. It's a story about a landowner who went out to find laborers early in the morning. They agreed upon a fair day's wage and started working. Then at noon, he went out and found some more, and they started working. Then towards evening, he went out and found some more, and they started working. Yet when the Lord paid them off at the end of the day, they all received the very same wage. It must have caused Mrs. Zebedee to wonder, will my sons really have positions of authority in the Lord's new kingdom? So when the opportunity presented itself, she came to the Lord. Matthew says that she bowed before him and made this request. "When you establish your kingdom, please let my sons sit in a place of authority and honor on your right and left hand." We might very well criticize Mrs. Zebedee for her presumptuousness, but since today's Mother's Day, maybe we ought to think for a few moments concerning some positive things about Mrs. Zebedee. We think also to recognize that when she came to Jesus, while Jesus didn't grant her request, neither did he deny it. He simply reminded her of the cost of being seated on the right or the left and told her that it is the Father who determines who's going to take those positions there. Now, what are some of the good things about Mrs. Zebedee? First of all, she came to the Lord praying that her sons might be part of his kingdom. I can think of no more important task this morning than the task of motherhood and also seeking to ensure that your children are part of the kingdom of God. I know that many mothers pray. Sometimes they pray out of necessity. Sometimes they pray because motherhood isn't easy. It's extremely difficult, even on the good days. James Dobson tells about a time that he came home when his son Ryan was a small baby. And maybe some of you can relate to this as well. It had been just one terrible day for his wife. Ryan had been sick and had cried all day long. Once when she was changing his diapers, the phone rang, and Shirley reached over to answer it before fastening up his diaper. Just then, you probably can guess what happened. Well, she cleaned up that mess and put him in clean, sweet-smelling clothes, and then she took him into the living room and fed him. And as she put him over her shoulder to burp him, he threw up all over himself, all over her, all over the couch, and probably other things as well. Dobson writes, "When I come home, I could smell the aroma of motherhood everywhere." He said the first thing Shirley cried out to him were these words, "Was all of this in my contract?" Sometimes mothers pray just out of frustration of it all. And sometimes in the frustration of trying to teach our children, we realize the difficulties of communication. A friend remembers very clearly the time that he gave his 2-year-old son, Sam, his very first responsibility. Maybe as you think back, you'll think about the first responsibility you gave to one of yours. He told Sam to watch Beth, his baby sister, while he stepped out of the room. He was gone only a few seconds when he heard a thump, and then Beth started crying. As he turned and ran, absolutely rushed back in, he was finding that Beth had fallen from the couch and was stretched out on the floor. Meanwhile, Sam sat there looking so innocent. My friend said, "Sam, I told you to watch her." He answered, "I did watch her." He watched her fall, and he watched her cry, and he did exactly what he was told. Thankfully, she was fine. Being a parent is not easy. Sometimes you're filled with joy and sometimes with sadness. Sometimes your children make you so proud you want to pop your buttons. At other times, you can't find enough handkerchiefs to blow your to dry your tears away. Being a parent is not easy. I can understand the feelings of the mother with 3 children who was asked, "If you had it to do all over again, would you have children?" "Yes," she replied, "but not the same ones." Being a parent is not easy. It's difficult. But Mrs. Zebedee gives us a valuable example, for she prayed earnestly that her sons would be part of his kingdom. We need the same concern for our children, don't we? What good is it if our children are successful and making money, driving fine automobiles and living in good neighborhoods, but they don't know God? What does it matter if they gain the whole world but lose their souls? I hope that in the heart of every mother and father here this morning, there's a burden to go to the throne of God and to pray for your children, to pray that they'll be saved for eternal life. That's a great place to begin. Secondly, not only did Mrs. Zebedee pray that her children would be a part of his kingdom, but she prayed that they would be actively involved in the work of his kingdom. Maybe it's not enough just to be saved. I know we can talk about churches all over the world. Churches are full of people content sometimes just to fill a pew on Sunday mornings. There are many and plenty of people willing to sit back and receive the blessings, but there are few, many times, that get involved in doing the real work of the church. Well, where does the spirit of service begin? It begins at home, I believe, with mothers and fathers, setting that example, praying that their sons and daughters might be involved in the work of the kingdom as teachers and leaders, discipling others that they might be the ones to go out into the world and find the lost, to see that the church continues on until Jesus comes back again. Mrs. Zebedee prayed that her children would be actively involved in the work of God's kingdom, and we need to walk in those same footsteps. Thirdly, Mrs. Zebedee had big expectations. When you're working in the kingdom, there is no higher position than those on the right and on the left of the king himself. And that's what her desire was for her sons. She didn't just pray that her children would be doorkeepers. She wanted them in the right and the left hand of Jesus. We might consider that kind of selfish, and when we read through that story, but she wanted them to be close to the one she knew to have the answers, to be the great healer and great physician, to be the one that was willing to put his life on the line for all of us. We may consider Mrs. Zebedee brash or presumptuous. We have to admire her boldness. Too often people have settled for mediocrity in the church. For too long, some have been content to just make it through the door. It's time for us to take our positions on the right and the left, to become leaders molding and fashioning the outreach of the church, mobilizing to make sure the message of Christ goes into the world to all of God's people. It's time to strive for excellence, to reach for the very, very best there is. The Lord calls us to be his disciples and to be effective laborers in his kingdom. And you know, one thing I was remembering this morning, when we were doing a building project in one of my churches over the years, we had an architect come in, and he said, "Don't just tell me what you want today. Dream big. Dream your biggest dream that I can put that down on paper, and then we'll talk about the rest later. But dream your biggest dream and put it down here on paper." And so that's what she was doing, I believe. Mrs. Zebedee was dreaming her biggest dream for her boys. Do you remember Irma Bombeck had God saying as he was creating a mother, "I'm close to creating something very much like myself"? I suppose that's why today is special, because we recognize that a mother's love is probably the closest example we have to God's love. It's a love that goes through the valley of the shadow of death to bring life into being. It's a love that sacrifices itself over and over and over again, and would even dare to lay down its life for its offspring. The story is told out of a World War II story and Holocaust that took the lives of millions of people, of this family of Solomon Rosenberg. It's a true story. Solomon Rosenberg and his wife and their two sons and his mother and father were arrested and placed in a Nazi concentration camp. It was a labor camp, and the rules were simple. As long as you can do your work, you're permitted to live. When you become too weak to do your work, then you're exterminated. Rosenberg watched his mother and father marched off to their deaths, and he knew that next would be his youngest son, David, because David had always been a frail child. Every evening, Rosenberg came back into the barracks after his hours of labor and searched for the faces of his family. And when he found them, they would huddle together, embrace one another, and thank God for another day of life. One day, Rosenberg came back and didn't see those familiar faces. He finally discovered his oldest son, Joshua, in the corner, weeping and praying. He said, "Josh, tell me it's not true." Joshua turned and said, "It is true, Papa. Today, David was not strong enough to do his work, so they came for him." "But where's your mother?" asked Mr. Rosenberg. "Oh, Papa," he said, "when they came for David, he was afraid, and he cried. Mama said, 'There's nothing to be afraid of, David.' And she took his hand and went with him." I want to share one last story. Maybe you've heard this before. Some years ago, on a hot summer day in South Florida, a little boy decided to go out for a swim in the old swimming hole behind his house. In a hurry to dive in the cool water, he ran out the back door, leaving behind shoes, socks, and shirt as he went. He flew into the water, not realizing that as he swam toward the middle of the lake, an alligator was swimming toward the shore. His mother in the house was looking out the window and at the same time saw the two as they were getting closer and closer together. In utter fear, she ran as fast as she could toward the water, yelling to her son as loudly as she could. Hearing her voice, the little boy became alarmed and made a U-turn to swim back to his mom. It was too late. Just as he reached her, the alligator reached him. And from the dock, his mother grabbed her little boy by the arms just as the alligator snatched his legs. Then began an incredible tug of war between the two. The alligator was much stronger than the mother, but the mother was much too passionate to let go. A farmer happened along just about that time. He heard her screams and raced from his truck, took aim, and shot the alligator. After weeks and weeks in the hospital, the little boy survived. His legs were extremely scarred by the vicious attack of this animal. On his arms were deep scratches from where his mother's fingernails dug into his flesh in her effort to hang on to the son that she loved. The newspaper reporter who interviewed the boy after the trauma asked if he could show him his scars. The boy lifted his pant legs, and then, with obvious pride, he said to the reporter, "But look at my arms. I have the greatest scars on my arms, too. I have them because my mom wouldn't let go. Just like a mother who loves her child, so God loves each of you as well. The scars on the hands and feet of Jesus remind us that God in his great love for us could not let us go either. That's motherhood. Mothers, this is your day. May God bless you in it. And I pray that if there's someone here who's never experienced the love of God that is so close to the love of a mother, that this will be your time of decision. I pray that if you've felt that you've had to walk through the valley alone so many times, that today you're going to recognize that there's a hand reaching out to you saying, "There's nothing to be afraid of. I'll go with you. And I'm holding on tight." And I pray that you will recognize that there's one who's already gone through that valley of the shadow just for you and made it possible for you to live forever. He extends his loving invitation in much the same way that a mother opens the doors of a home and calls her children in. He calls you too this morning. Let us bow for a word of prayer. Gracious Lord, we thank you for all of the moms that are out there today, listening here or listening from afar. We pray that you will know that your sacrifices and the things that you have done to protect your children have not gone unnoticed by our Lord and Savior, even if you don't get recognition for any of it here in this life. The Lord sees your struggles and he knows your pain. And he is here to love you through it today. And we graciously thank you, Lord, for every single one of them. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. May we have now the offering of our gifts and tithes. Lord, bless these offerings that they might be used to bring honor and glory to your name. Lord, thank you for all that you do, all that you are. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Our closing hymn is 707 in your hymn book and on the screen as well. Hymn of Promise. Bring God's loving presence to the world. Be companions of kindness to everyone you meet. Go forth trusting that our companion God goes with us now and forevermore. Amen and amen. Let's sing Blessed Be the Tie in our closing. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, thank you. Thank you, Mark, today. Thank you, Melissa. Thank you, all of you who have shared, Catherine, all of you that have shared and taken part in today's service. God bless you. Enjoy your Mother's Day.